name is Kaya O'Doherty. I'm here as a collective member for the Union for Gender Empowerment, also known as the UGE, and I've been involved in the group that's been coming together with the sexual assault policy.
And my name is Brooke Nanskevel. I'm on the board of directors of QPIRG McGill, and I similarly have been involved in this group that's been working on the policy proposal.
Can you outline some of the main recommendations of the sexual assault policy proposed last week?
Yeah, sure. I mean, a lot of the recommendations are on our open letter, which I encourage anyone to read just to have an overview of what the policy has. It can be kind of a daunting document to start looking at, but we divided it mostly into talking about a potential position for a single person to be dealing with issues of sexual assault, and also campaign awareness around it on campus. So that would be what we termed the sexual assault response coordinator. And then the second part of our policy, or the second main part of our policy, is about how we would want a sexual assault policy to be framed, including various aspects such as being pro-survivor and proactive in trying to address rape culture on campus.
And there's also one of the pieces I think that's most important about the policy is it's blending a lot of emphasis on being pro-survivor and providing supports for survivors of sexual assault with this really strong education mandate. So bringing those two pieces together to recognize that when they're separate, they are both super important, but bringing them together is how we're going to create a real change on our campus.
So going along with that, the website also proposed or outlined some of the things that they would like to see from a new hiree, the website called the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator. Can you elaborate a bit on what that position would look like?
Yeah, so the first part of our document kind of outlines this a bit fuller than I'll probably be able to explain right now. But essentially, we wanted this position to be very much someone who is equipped and trained to be support and someone who is well aware of the issues around rape culture and the power dynamics involved in that, but who would act primarily, I guess, as a referral service. So someone who would know what resources are available on and off of campus and what other kind of avenues a survivor can go through, but who would, yeah, be able to support and also for students, and then as Brooke was saying, in terms of the educational aspect, being a liaison of sorts between different campaigns that are already existing on campus, but also helping to spread those to different avenues that student groups and other organizations haven't really been able to tackle.
And I think another key point of the position is also that we're recognizing that a lot of the work going on around sexual assault and supporting survivors on campus has been student-led, and that doesn't mean that administration hasn't been making some very important steps in the past few years, but we see this position as very much helping to link those two efforts and make sure that there isn't such a divide between student efforts that have been really strong and working for decades and administrative efforts that are trying to work on the policy type side. But we see this position as really bringing those together.
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things about the website and about the dynamic on campus is that there are a lot of amazing student and campus groups who do amazing work to fight rape culture and address sexual assault. But at the same time, these groups are fighting to see things institutionalized and see the administration recognize it. So maybe you could speak a bit about how these two things need to go hand in hand or how they can help each other.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I think that's I completely agree. I think that's one of the most important parts of this policy's working towards is that also these are hours and hours and hours of volunteer labor going on by students and students working to support students. And that's super important, but that's one piece. And McGill as an institution, one of the powers that it has as such a continual structure is to make sure that things are institutionalized and that these continue. So we recognize that a lot of the work that's already going on or that we reference in the policy is already going on or is in the baby stages of happening, but we see the policy as making sure that this continues to happen. So even if there are people who are in admin positions right now who share our visions, we want to make sure that, if tomorrow they get replaced by someone different, that this type of mandate is institutionalized and kept within McGill.
And how much consultation has there been in the past with student groups from the administration?
I mean, we've only been here so many years, right? So once again, this is a problem of institutional memory and where students graduate and then we can't really necessarily turn it on. So I can't speak to necessarily before the time I was here, but I think in the last year where I've seen any kind of response from admin about sexual assault, and I think that was largely, if not entirely, spurred by the case in first semester regarding the three football players accused of sexual assault. So I think unfortunately, it seemed that that a response from admin only came after a highly publicized incident, and very many groups and people were disappointed with what that response was. But since then, they have continuously stated that they are going to try and make changes and try and address this, and they had a forum on consent at the end of February, which was an interesting event where there were six panelists, three of whom were from student groups, myself included, and four of them were from student groups and two from outside of McGill. And that was like one way they were trying to expand the discussion. But I think like a lot more needs to be done, and like what can help that happen is students and other people involved in the McGill community really pushing for a more concrete response, not just saying that we're going to keep talking about things, which I think need to happen as well, but we need to see some concrete responses as well.
And also just like to add on the note of like institutional memory, also recognizing that the case in the fall has, I want to say, been like this small generation of McGill students kind of like upheaval around sexual assault issues, but there have been cases in the past too, and that we, you know, are seeing this case happen, but the same types of responses have been going on for cases in the past as well involving McGill students on McGill campus. And again, there are these promises of, great, we're going to act on this, great, we're going to consult students, and then maybe that consultation happens, maybe it doesn't. In this case, it did, but then what happens after that? And that's really what the policy is pushing for, is like for actual action.
Could you talk a little bit about how important a sexual assault policy and just an attitude that addresses or even acknowledges rape culture can be in making McGill an overall more safe and equitable space?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people don't even know that there is no sexual assault policy right now at McGill. Like, there is a policy about harassment, sexual harassment, and discrimination, and there are various parts and things such as the Green Book, and like other, apparently, according to Dean Kostopoulos, he said that 80% of what's in our policy right now exists somewhere in various policies at McGill, but very much is not centralized. So I think in terms of like actual access and help for survivors, like having a concrete policy which is not only all in one place, but accessible, and having someone who can help someone navigate that is crucial. But in the broader scale of things, like having a university state like in a concrete policy-based form, as well as other forms, that sexual assault and rape culture are necessarily needing to be addressed on a university campus, and like that statement and needing to recognize its importance and its impact on so many students on the campus is going to be a great step forward in having these discussions, and also recognizing the powers that exist within university. And so in terms of equity, it's a necessary conversation to have. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have. It's a difficult conversation to have. And I think that's why we've seen a lot of backlash. But I think if McGill continues to purport to be a great and forerunning institution in Canada and elsewhere, that this is definitely a direction that it needs to take.
Do you see the implementation of a sexual assault policy affecting the greater Montreal community?
I'd say, considering the amount McGill does also, like, is also a player in Montreal. Like, I think sometimes you forget that McGill, you know, we talk about the McGill bubble, and I think that's very true in some ways, but, like, McGill events affect Montreal, and also, like, McGill students do live in Montreal, live in this greater city, and act within a much broader context. So I think having a policy will impact that in some ways. I think the main ways that it will impact it is through doing those popular education campaigns and providing supports. Their SACOMS is already open to people from the whole island of Montreal. But I think another thing to recognize is that the policy isn't the end-all be-all, that this is one piece of a much broader change that needs to happen. So I'm recognizing that the policy is where we're hoping to start, but this is meant as a catalyst, not meant as an endpoint.
Could you speak a bit about how students or listeners can get involved?
Sure, yeah. So as we talked about earlier, we released the proposal via an open letter. We have a website, which is
sexualassaultpolicy@mcgill.com. Pretty easy to remember.
So it's a pretty swanky website. But yeah, if you check it out, you can read our open letter as well as our policy proposal, and then feel free to sign on to that petition. Additionally, if you're part of any kind of group or organization involved in whatever way in the McGill community, and you're interested in having a group endorsement or giving a group endorsement, that is something we're interested in, to just try and figure out who is really interested in maybe further consultation or even just like the symbolism of having that support. Additionally, if you're more individually interested in getting involved, our email is SAPP, which is stands for Sexual Assault Policy Proposal, sapp.mcgill@gmail.com. So you can feel free to shoot us an email if you have any questions or you're interested in getting more involved.
Mm-hmm. And also if you're just interested in kind of joining like the organizing team around this, please send us an email. And also another thing is kind of spreading the word around this, because right now, you know, most of us are coming from organizations that have a certain mandate or like directly involved in issues of sexual assault or gender advocacy. So spreading it around so that also faculty, staff, admin, fellow students, everyone is becoming more aware of this and getting more engaged in this conversation.